What is up, Karma Nation? I'm your host, Jay Rube, back again on the Teeing It Up podcast here with Mr. Sam and AC himself. Gentlemen, how are we doing today? Sam, let's start with you. You're in a little bit of a grumpy mood today, but I think Majors Week will cheer you up.
You know, I don't know why you have to open with that. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just tired and AC is annoying, but US Open's awesome. I'm a little upset Tiger's not here, though. I'm going to be honest. I mean, this course is Tiger Woods. I mean, that's the only way to put
it. Seven wins, right?
Anthony, how are you today?
I am fabulous. It's another beautiful summer afternoon. We got our third major of the year. I think the U.S. Open, I love the Masters. I love the PGA, even the British Open. But for some reason, I always gravitate towards the U.S. Open. I feel like Sam, you may agree with that as well. I mean, the Masters are the Masters, but you also have guys who are fossils that show up to that thing. And the field is just like much smaller. I do think there is going to be, and we'll get into the game theory and who we like and all that. But just at a quick glance, man, macro level this week, I feel like ownership is so spread out. And I personally have made the mistake myself the last couple big events, even going back to COVID last year. I mean, I remember the Masters last year, I kind of outthanked myself, and I don't want to do that this week. I just want to play the guys that I know, and we'll talk about them, because I think ownership is so spread out. So there's just no point talking too much tonight about ownership this, ownership that. I mean, Sam, I didn't see the projections on the website up yet, but my guess is most guys are going to be 10 to 12 to 15%. There'll be a couple guys at 5 to 7, and of course, the darts, but there's a lot of guys in the 6K range that like nobody's even going to touch, rightfully so. So it just like wipes off a large portion of the board. So I think a lot of ownership's going to soak on XYZ guys, but hold me to it, guys. Don't let me change my mind. There's a couple guys I made a mistake the last couple tournaments, big tournaments, that I got away from them because they're quote unquote chalk. I'm not doing that this week. So that's all I got to start, Jay Rube. I'm excited to have you on the pod to talk some golf as well, so we can beat up Sam a little bit and corner him on some positions.
Listen, perfect. I love to hear that. So listen, we've got the 121st iteration here of the US Open. I mean, second time it's been here at Torrey Pines. Last time I believe was in 2008. They had that epic playoff between Rocco and Tiger that went like all day on Monday, just like absolutely insane tournament. So hopefully we get some drama again here going into Sunday. 156 players in the field this week, so we have a lot to talk about, guys. So I think we need to get right into it. Sam, I'm gonna go to you and see if we can get a little course preview here. See what type of golfers that we're really trying to target. I know we're only dealing with the South Course this weekend. How much are you putting into that course history that of information that we have from the Farmers Insurance tournament that's held here? And what do we need to know? I know we need to be long off the tee, but what else?
That was actually a great segue, because normally AC messes that up. I was like, what I was about to say was that like I'm actually putting way less stock into like the yearly tournament, because yeah, you have the North Course, which is way easier. And obviously, I think it can be overblown, because like I know. And I don't know, last year, did you play any Bryson when he won at US Open or no?
I did not, man. I think he was low owned, period. I just didn't. So
yeah, exactly. And like, I think I made the mistake where, you know, I was a total fish, and I was like, yeah, Bryson murders the ball, but like, you know, that rough is so unbearable. Like, there's no way. And it just is such an advantage, even if you're in that thicker rough. I think it's always funny on Monday of every any US Open, it's like, oh my god, look at that rough, not resonate, it's cut later in the week. But I think the distance, yeah, I'm gonna really even probably use that more than I ever have before. And like I kind of was saying, is instead of using kind of history that where they play it every year here in January, but using more US Open type history and using courses like Bethpage or even Pebble or Wingfoot or Shinnecock and things like that. Because I think it's – or like Riviera, like is which I think is a better representation of how this course will play. But Yeah, I don't know. This is a weird one because I feel like everyone remembers kind of what Tiger did in 08. I mean, this course was so brutal for guys, but I think like we've seen, I feel like the last couple of years is these guys are so good now that I wouldn't be shocked if the winning score ends up being kind of like in the single digits under par. And, you know, everyone wants the plus five winner, but I just don't see that happening because there are birdies out there.
Oh, that's actually a great point. I'm trying to, like I said, I don't know if it's the right verbiage, but like not overthink things this week. You know, you're dead on. Everybody, every podcast you listen to, every content piece you read is going to talk about how long you need to be. And it's very true. So there's a lot of guys we can write off and we'll kind of go through all of them. But I do think that I feel really good this week. I mean, maybe it's just me. I don't know if that's how you guys both feel, but I think that a lot of the guys that we've talked about for a long time on this podcast, like really fit the narrative. I feel really comfortable about my build this week. I have to do this selfish plug, obviously, dfskarma.com. You can find all of our content, projections portal, core plays. You can access us in the Discord chat. And then at betkarma.com, continue to check out over there. There's more stuff that's loading there, sport after sport, Vegas odd stuff. But a lot of our picks you can find direct there. And I like my picks this week, and they are up, and they are there early. Do you guys want to start up top, the top range? I mean, you know, I know on our screen we have 9K and above, like, but let's just keep it real for what we normally do. Travis isn't listening right now. 10K and above, real quick. I'm going to go right to you, Sam. 10K and above. Talk to me about where you're at. I know you're not making it minus this week, but where's your head at?
Yeah, I mean, like any major, it's like you're kind of just trying to, like, split hairs. All these guys are all obviously super talented. I think the strategy I'm going to take this week, which I never do, is since I despise Brooks and I hate him and he always does well, I'm going to play him to hopefully curse him to a bad performance. So I would probably avoid him because I never play Brooks. And when I do, he misses the cut. But I don't know. All that kind of joking aside, I mean, I don't know what it is about these majors. He always shows up. I think he'll end up being popular and I'll play him. But I think my favorite kind of leverage spot, if you want to call it that, is Yaya Dustin is playing Jordan Spieth because he doesn't have the driving distance, even though he's not like quote unquote a short hitter, but compared to these guys, he is. And yeah, like obviously everyone likes Rahm. I know you do. I do. Everyone, you know, Brooks is a complete big game hunter. Bryson murders the ball, but I think Spieth could go under-owned, and it's just funny because of like he's been the best player like in the world over the last like 4 months.
I like your call leverage wise and speed, J-Rube. So you're one lineup guy, even in a major, or do you toss a couple others? You know, there's millions of dollars on the line this week, or will you stick to your thing? One lineup.
One lineup, AC. Every sport, every day. I mean, that's all we do here. We're all in. So, listen, my quick question for you guys is how do we think that John Rahm is going to react? Obviously, he dealt with that COVID situation when he was six strokes up and had to be pulled before Sunday 2 weeks ago. Do you think he's been able to get out and practice? I assume even, you know, in his mandatory quarantine, he found a way to go out and play some golf and you know what I mean? Stay in good form.
So again, I love that you're on this. It's fun. It's US Open. What we let off the podcast with, let's not overthink it. John Rahm, just like you said last week, I mean, you and Sam had a great discussion on Rahm last week. He's the best player in the world. I mean, Sam and I talk about this month over month, year over year. Yes, he's not going to always win, but John Rahm's the safest play on the board. I mean, you play him if you want. It just becomes a math game of can you get a optimal build if that's what you want to do. In my humble opinion, J-Rube, we'll talk game theory next a little bit. The pop quiz I was going to ask you is, I mean, are you yourself one lineup guy? Are you taking a guy up top in the 10K and above range? I want to know that first, and then I'll ask you a second question.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, once you get to building and, you know, it's really appealing to get up to these guys like John Rahm or, you know, we talk about length off the tee, Bryson has to come into the conversation. But once you get to construction, some of these guys in the 9K range just kind of fit build so much better. And I think we have some really good golfers in that high 7 and 8K range that I really am prioritizing. And I might not be able to get up to these guys. I think if I was going up to one, it would be John Rahm. I know that this isn't a Bryson podcast, but I mean, there's nobody who's better off the tee than him right now. So, I mean, we have to consider him. What are you guys doing with him this week. I know generally we aren't in the Bryson camp and we'll likely avoid him, but how are you guys handling the Bryson situation this week?
I'll steal it from you, Sam, and then you can interject. So I'm never Bryson guy ever, ever, ever. But Sam kind of dropping some hints. And the reality is this is the US Open, and I love the Brooks Bryson. Like, I'm playing a few GPPs in three max entry this week, and then, of course, I'll do my normal, like, $5 MME using the optimizer, which you can access on the website. I love the dynamic Brooks Bryson combination. I mean, DJ's still going to be in play. I understand, Sam, Jordan Spieth definitely some levers. I'm probably X and out of Spieth in the player pool this week. In my opinion, J-Rube, like, you can win a lot of money starting with John Rahm this week, because I feel like I know he's going to be owned, but it's just so funny because everybody's going to do the same thing. That's why I wanted to ask you, you're a good one lineup DFS player, period, not golf, all sports. The fact that you already know that you're dropping down confirms my thesis, which is what I was going to ask you to begin with. If you're dropping down, I mean, that's probably what Sam's doing in cash. That's probably what I'm doing with my quote unquote optimal build. It's already appetizing now taking one of these guys up top if you are a single lineup guy and just figuring it out, like playing a couple of the low-owned darts. But to your point, the range sucks in the low sevens, you know, the high sixes. Like, it's just really tough to build an optimal build, but you can win a lot of money with one of those guys this week. Sam, are you kind of feeling that way? Because you usually make three GPP-type lineups, right? I mean, you're obviously going more on Bryson and Brooks this week than you normally would as well, right?
Yeah, and that's like when I say like playing Spieth, I would never play Spieth in like quote unquote like my main lineup, my cash one, just because, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to ignore, even though I think it's an interesting leverage play. The driving distance thing is definitely real. But I just think, to your point, that I think almost playing someone like Rahm, I'm not going to like sound like a complete idiot and say like it won't be owned, but owning Rahm and, you know, a high 9K guy and then dropping down to the sevens will be so much less owned than. If you like look at the board, it's like, okay, in cash, people are going to start Xander, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau. That's what's going to happen. I might do that too. So it's like stack, balance, build, because these guys, because it's soft pricing, I think it makes it a lot. I mean, if you can find a way to have someone like Rahm and then play like Hovland with him, I think that's not going to be as owned as it might normally be, because for some unknown reason, like Justin Thomas is under 10,000 for whatever reason. But
all right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's pivot. We're on this range too much because these guys are all going to be owned up top. Last summary, what I'm getting from all of us is it seems like it's Rahm, Brooks, Bryson. All right, move on. 9K, Patrick Reed on up. I'm going right back to you, Sam. More rapid fire so J-Rub can get in and then I can get in. Rory to Cantlay. This range, we don't need to talk about Xander. He's the best play on the board per value, hometown narrative. Blah, 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 blah. Play X-Man in cash games or you will lose. All right. Sam, what else are you doing in this round?
I love when he says that. That might be an auto miscut. yeah, I mean, Xander, obviously, like, I think I always just laugh at how, like, insanely popular he is. Like, his history is, like, second to none. I think he's finished top five the last, like, four US Opens in a row. I think that's funny that I don't know why that would matter that he's going to should be 14-1 odds, but he obviously, and then the hometown narrative is big. I mean, he's going to be over 20% on, but I think I kind of mentioned it a second ago. I don't know why once again, people are not going to own Justin Thomas. I get he's so bad at putting, like, obviously he's so bad at putting, but like, again, he's won tournaments losing strokes of field putting. I think Rory at 9,900 is really random. That was a little odd. I don't think I've ever seen him under 10,000, like, ever. So,
man,
I don't want to play Rory, but, like, to me, like, the obvious pivot off Brooks and Bryson, like, for a little less money is Rory, who I think should be less owned. Even though people like to play Rory in majors. Cantlay, no. I don't even care. I'm not playing Cantlay. And then Patrick Reed, I don't know. Do you feel like I like Patrick Reed? I want to bet him. His number got hammered. Do you feel like everyone's just decided that, like, this is a Patrick Reed week? He won this tournament, like, Farmers. Like, I just, if he gets really popular, that is like an easy pivot for me.
It's been such long time, years of staring at data. I don't give a shit. Like, I know Patrick Reed's won here. I'm not playing Patrick Reed. I just don't play him. I mean, you write him up a little bit more than I do. And frankly, you kind of,
yeah.
On the weeks that you're on him when you should be, I guess, and you're off him when.
Yeah, I've been lucky with him. He's getting. He's. I think he's gonna be secretly like really chalky, like even more than we project.
I think that's an easy fade. I mean, Jared, what's your vibe on this range? I mean, X, you know, you're one lineup guy. You will have zero leverage, just telling you, playing Xander. But in my opinion, he's probably the first guy that most of all of us in the industry will agree is just mispriced. He probably should be 10.3, in my opinion, 10.2, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, the history speaks for itself for him here at US Opens. I think an interesting guy right above him that you can gain some leverage on the field with is Colin Morikawa. I mean, yeah, we like to target him on those courses where the second shot matters a little bit more than being long off the tee. But I mean, we've seen how hot Morikawa can get from time to time, and he's in really good form right now. So I'm definitely interested in him and gaining some leverage on the field there. I mean, I think we hit this 9K range pretty well. I mean, it's Xander, and then all around him, you're getting contrarian with some leverage spots. If we drop down below 9K here and move on to our next tier,
I just want to say one thing. None of us said his name, and I kind of am digging it. I know he's going to be owned, but he's not going to be mega chalk. And I think people think he's going to be mega chalk, but there's the X-Man's there, Cantlay's there, Morikawa is there. Dude, I am playing Victor Hovland. I tried already tricking myself saying I probably shouldn't play him because he's going to be 30% owned. He's not going to be. He's going to be 15%.
He's definitely not going to be. Definitely not going to be.
He fits this course so perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, being right next to Xander, it's like an auto 5% less than he should be. It's pretty lucky for that in that way. Yeah, I agree.
Very lucky this week because he should be higher owned. So I just wanted to touch that. But keep going, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love when situations present themselves like that, when you can see the clear leverage spot, and you know that those are the situations everyone should be taking advantage of. But listen, we can't bury the lead here under 9K. We got to talk about Tony Finau here at a major, chalk again, gonna be the mega chalk in cash games. AC, are you playing Tony Finau in your main lineup today?
Fucking Lulu. He's there you guys dog at me month over month. Well, Sam does. I mean, I don't care. He does scare me. I got to admit, he's scary play. It sucks that he's going to be chalkier. I guess it just is what it is. But I'm playing Tony Finau. Like, if you look,
why would DK do that?
You can chime in.
9,000. Put him at 9,000 instead of 8,900, and he would not be as chalky.
The 8 kind of very, you know, it changes people's minds for better or worse. But anyways, his strokes gain historically here on the South course, if you really filter the numbers out, it's egregious. I mean, he ranks like top five in a number of the categories that you want him to rank in. He's playing better than I think people even think. I mean, he does have blow up rounds at times, but to me, it's just like an autoplay. Like, his putter's been so bad, and he putts better on POA historically. So, you know, I'm calling for some positive regression. I mean, he lost 5.5 strokes putting last week, 4.5 at the Charles Schwab. I mean, big game, Tony. I'm playing him. I know he's going to be owned. I got to find some leverage elsewhere, I guess. But again, all these guys, I mean, Sam, take over from here. But there's a lot of guys in the AK range, too, that are going to be owned. Like, if you're playing one main lineup.
I mean, I mean, the easiest pivot for me ever. I was going to play him anyway. I mean, Hideki is, like, not going to be owned again, which is hilarious.
I know. It's like,
I mean, literally, I, like, keep playing him after the Masters, and he keeps, like, I mean, PGA, he had like that one, I think it was a back nine on Saturday or something. He had like two bizarre like triples or something, which kind of like torched his whole thing. But again, and he went back to his normal putting where he lost like a million. I think for the PGA, he lost over 10. I don't know how that's possible. I don't even know how you can do that. But that's pretty normal for him. So I love that play. I think I'm like dropping way down. You can go back up in the 8K range. Know whose history I did not know is insane at the U.S. Open is Louis Oosthuizen.
Well, obviously, I'm not. I mean, I get it. He'll be in one of my three max.
His last six starts: 3rd, 7th, 16th, 23rd, 23rd, 2nd. What the hell is that?
I'm telling you though. So I said earlier, like, I'm not a Bryson guy, and like, keep that same game theory at least for me talking in a vacuum here for the rest of this, you know, player pool, like. Dude, Louis doesn't hit the ball far enough for me. I mean, I don't care. Like, yeah, he's Louis. He top fives majors. I get it. But I do think it is very interesting this week. I think the length is more pronounced than we've seen in a number of years for US Open. So no Louis for me in my main builds.
Are you playing the old big game hunter, Willie Zalatoris?
I will entry. I absolutely love him this week. And frankly, I'm like, I'm considering getting weird and pivoting off Finau, which I know I won't, and going to Zalatoris because his long iron game fits this course really well. He's really good from 175 to 200 to 225 range, which is something we're really taking a look at this week. And he's way more accurate than people think. He played really bad at the Charles Schwab. So he's been, you know, and I guess the Wells Fargo a little bit too. So yeah, he'll be lower owned. I like him a lot though. I still think he fits the mold that we want.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to be right there with AC playing Tony Finau in this range. I mean, I can't get off it. I'm riding the Finau train with you to the death here, AC. I'm going to be on Tony Finau.
I'm telling you, he will start plus two. Just let him go.
I'm fine with that.
I like Finau more than Xander for sure.
Yeah, wow. I do.
That's huge coming from Sam right there. I mean, it really might be a Finau week if all three of us are.
Xander will finish top five. His ball will kick off like a person's foot and like he'll make eagle, and then he'll like hole in one, and then he'll like shank one off someone's head, and then he'll come top five. I think what's interesting to me is I think there's a couple guys we own in this range, like Finau, obviously. Louis, I think, will get a lot of traction because of his history. Zalatoris. Are people for once just not playing Corey Connors?
I thought that too. I'm playing him in my three max. I'm taking I love him this week. I mean, I tried
playing my main one.
He might be the lowest owned guy in this range. Like, absolutely might be the lowest owned guy.
Yeah, besides maybe I agree, with the exception of the only guy who might be low on would be like Webb, just because people think because he hits the ball short, he can't compete, which is hilarious. Yeah. He's won a US Open. But I agree with that. I think it's an interesting one. I mean, again, if I like Hideki, why would I not like Corey Connors? Like the same player, except
I'm with you. I think Connors is like low key one of the best plays in this entire range with leverage. Uh-huh. You know, he's a guy I'm going to go overweight in the optimizer. I mean, he hits every fairway. He's long enough. His proximity in that same range we were talking about, Zalatoris, is literally unbelievable. I mean, it's got to be like top five, top 10 in that ball striking range of 175 to 225. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. He just sucks with his putter, as we know, but so do some of these other guys, you know, like putting. Sam and I, Jared, I don't know how much you actually listen over the course of time. We say it every week. Like, I don't look at putting stats. Like, I actually look for the guys who are putting really bad, and I just try to catch them on a good week. I feel like that's honestly a really good, you know, positive regression indicator. I mean, it's really hard to go vice versa as well, but I mean, who cares? Maybe he puts well this week. So let's move downward a bit. We didn't talk about Scottie Scheffler. I think he's really intriguing. I always bring him up, but I don't think anyone's going to play him. Or Berger. You love Berger, Sam.
Berger's a weird one. I don't know. He's been letting it. Scheffler, I don't know. I don't know why I have this thing in my head where I just want Scheffler, like these a lot like heavier birdie making courses. I just feel like he scores so well on like par fives, and these ones are long as hell. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things I write about all the time where I'm like, you know, if Scottie Scheffler's 8,500, it's like, why would I play him like over Connors or Hatton or Louis or Hideki? You know, kind of that summer rain.
Let me take the lead on the next range because I want to mention one guy that I almost shot myself in the head because I said the same thing at the PGA Championship. I said, there's no way in hell I'm not playing Paul Casey. What did I do? I didn't play Paul Casey. I don't even know how it was physically possible. I don't care. I'm playing Paul Casey this week. You can tell me he's 45% owned. I'm still playing Paul Casey this week. Paul Casey is the heptatone of the golfer I want this week. I mean, yes, can he hit it a little farther? Sure. But he's extremely accurate. His ball striking and approach game is unbelievable. He does play. I've noticed in big tournaments over time, Casey's short game does kind of come around. I know it's a little bit of a weakness, but I am playing Paul Casey this week, and I don't care how high owned he is. I'm telling you, there's so many guys this week. He's not going to be like egregious chalk, right, Sam? I mean, what am I missing?
Yeah, so I'm not playing Paul Casey or Fitzpatrick, and I might not play Abraham Answer either.
I'm not playing
Abraham. Not to troll you. That could change. I think I'll play one of Casey or Answer. The only reason I'm saying not both is because those are two guys that are so quintessentially going to pop in everyone's stat models. And like, I don't know if you saw Answer's betting odds, which are hilarious. Like, Answer hits the ball like really short, first of all. I like Answer, but he hits the ball pretty short. But Casey, I don't know. I mean, I think there's guys who can't succeed without this distance. It's not the end all be all. Like, you know, everyone likes Patrick Reed, but he doesn't hit the ball very far either. I just think it's one of those things where there's no narrative behind it. It's why, like, I fade Harold Varner every time he's owned. He just, for some reason, sucks. It's like, Casey is just, why does DK do this? Like, put him at, like, 84. It's like, make him not mega. I don't know if he's going to be chalk, but if he is, I will.
So, Jarib, as an outsider who doesn't play as much DFS golf yet, now you're getting addicted. What are your thoughts on Paul Casey?
Listen, there was one guy who really jumped out to me, and it's so funny that both of you are saying that all the models are going to love him and that everyone's going to be on him. I actually think he's going to probably be pretty chalky in this range, and it is Abraham Answer. He popped off the page right away just looking at some of the betting odds and stuff. Sam, is there a reason that you think that his odds are too short right now? I think he's going to be really popular in this range, and it almost looks justifiable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because his current form has been insane. Like, he just missed a cut at Memorial when I was on him. But, like, before that, he had, like, 9, like, top 25s or better in a row, including, like, 4 top 10s or something. He just – I don't know. It's just hard. At this price, I don't think – like, again, when you're under 8, it's not like he, like, has to come top 5 to pay off value. He just one of these guys where – he ranks out like really slow on stat models, but it's like, you know, Lucas Glover is great stats, but we know what Lucas Glover does. He doesn't really win. Former US Open winner, Lucas Glover. But I just don't know if I would eat that chalk if he gets up to like a 17, 18%. Like, there's just no way. I'd rather play like Justin Rose, who we skipped over, by the way. Or AC, I thought you were going to say Fleetwood, who's tough.
Funny you bring him up in my 3 max entry. He's a guy who will be extreme. This is the first guy. Like, now we're getting into the 7K. Dude, honestly, 8K and above, every single golfer, because nobody's going to be playing anybody in the 6K range, ownership is going to be so spread. That's why I didn't want to talk about ownership too much tonight. It's all going to be the same until you get into the 7K range. I do think that Tommy Fleetwood is one of those. There's a couple other guys. I actually am intrigued. Yes, Sam, you know me. 5% is kind of what my head's at, and I think for a week like this, that's massive upside. No, he's not going to win. Tommy Fleetwood easily can top 5. I know he hasn't had the best year, the best rolling 18 months for all that matter, but dude, Tommy Fleetwood, when he's striking the balls, going to keep it in the fairway. He's an elite ball striker. He can get very hot, like with his short game. A guy like him, I don't know, man. I mean, I just think it's interesting leverage this week. There's other chalk guys around him, so I think he's a nice pivot.
This could be a noisy stat, but if you look at like stats like doubles avoided, like Fleetwood just loves doubles. Like, he just loves making doubles, triples. Like, he, I don't know. I just think Fleetwood is so overrated, but that's neither here nor there. Phil Mickelson will not be rostered by anyone, and he shouldn't at that price. That's ridiculous. That's just like, oh my God.
He probably will play well, actually. Like,
you know, I mean, I'm sorry. If Phil wins back-to-back, that would be insanely epic. I wouldn't even be mad, but, like, come on. Like, no.
You know the boomers will be betting him, though. I mean, the boomers will be betting him. Talk about the chalk, though. I mean, chalk is Kokrak. It's the chalk Lowry. Is gonna be
Kokrak and Lowry. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring. I definitely started the Lowry train. I feel like I was on Lowry before anyone really started playing in the last couple weeks. And then he, of course, hit the ball 4 times out of 1 bunker, or he would have been in contention at the PGA. But
he was your cover boy last week, or the year
for
the week.
I like I think both of those guys are good. I do really like Kokrak. I know you do too, probably. I think Kokrak is a sick play.
Jarib, if you want to jump in a second, my quick thoughts are like, dude, I love them both, and this is where I'm getting a little, you know, I'm gonna now slowly back off my, you know, rhetoric for the first half of the pod. I can't play all the saturated guys. I want to. I'd like to find at least 1 or 2 guys, like I say, every week, somewhat lower owned. I'm kind of now starting to run into a little bit of an issue here. You know, I mentioned a few guys that I like a lot. They will be owned, but man, it's like, do I continue to build my lineup with like Lowry, Kokrak, who I love both of them? I actually ran this week in specific, because it's the majors, and I have a lot more money on the line in the betting markets. I really made a bunch of different models, and dude, Kokrak just he just, I'm not gonna lie, in every model I tried tricking myself in different models, he really sticks out like a lot. And I know
I even added putting into mine and he was still high. I was like, wow, okay.
Hook racks,
yeah,
the local Cleveland boy too, and he, you know, he's talked about around Cleveland, so I got that connection there. Not that that means absolutely anything, but let me give you a pivot. No. And then here, you can chime in on this area, because I'm curious what a guy like you is going to do with the Caseys, the Answers, the Kokoraks, the Lowrys. I love this week, another 5-6% owned guy. I love Sam Burns. I think Sam Burns is an amazing play this week. I think Sam Burns can legit win this week. I know he has a back issue, thingamajigger. I don't know if you guys have an update on that, but wow. Sam Burns, talk about a leverage play in this range. Him and Tommy Fleetwood, but like Sam Burns, if you guys dig in, even after the podcast, look further into Sam Burns. I'm telling you, he had a bad round at the Memorial. Big deal. It's golf. I mean, but he's been surprisingly, not only we know he's super long, we know that. Dude, he is lighting up the fairways and the good drives gain. That, to me, was an immediate positive red flag. I was like, holy shit. Like, he is placing the ball exactly where we want it to be. So I'm going to have extreme overweight ownership. This is the first guy I'm going extremely overweight in MME. So if he's 5% owned when Sam runs the projections, I'll probably be 20 to 25% overweight on Sam Burns this week.
Yeah, I think a popular strategy is going to be playing multiple guys in the 7K range. I mean, that's what's going to allow you to get those balanced builds and those optimal builds in cash games. So it makes sense that a lot of these guys are going to be popular. It's definitely the route to go. And like you discussed earlier in the podcast, AC, now it might be a good time to flip the build on people and try to take some stabs at these cheaper guys we're going to get into next in order to get up to those above 10K options that you know, we don't think people are going to be able to do just with the way roster construction is shaping out. Just one more question on one of these guys in this low 7K range, and then we can move on. It looks like Charlie Hoffman's going to gain some ownership here. I don't know. Is this a guy that you want to play at chalk here if he even gets up to like 12 to 15%? Because it looks like it might be leaning that way.
Charlie Hoffman ranks second in my freaking model. He's going to be freaking popular. And this is when it gets egregious, like you were implying. When you get a 7,200 guy now we're getting we're almost call it like 7K flat range. This guy's going to be 15%. No, now it's a little bit like, believe me, I wanted to play Charlie. When I first made my build, he was in my first lineup. I probably should leave him in there because he'll probably come in third place. Charlie Hoffman, Sam can chime in. I mean, he's playing unbelievable. I mean, you can't really make an argument I'm playing him other than like sheer golf variance, which is what we try to talk about on these DFS podcasts, not just golf. Like, things are going to happen. Like, yeah, he's probably, maybe he misses the cut. I don't know. Like, Sam, what are you doing? I mean, I'm probably not going to play him, even though every indicator tells me to play him in my main build.
He's the kind of guy where I only think it sounds, silly, but like, I will probably play Hoffman in cash because he's just too cheap for, he's played very well at Torrey Pines. He's pretty good on Paula and he's played well in California. So, I mean, this given his form, it's like when, I can't remember, but it's a guy like a couple of years ago was like on fire. It just, I was going to say that I think all the ownership, you know, under 76 is going to basically go to Max Homa and Hoffman. The two pivots I like a lot in this range, I always play Adam Scott, even though he's the worst.
Damn it.
I mean,
I'm going to get Adam Scott. I already know the other guy.
Adam Scott, like, won at Riviera. I was on him, low-key, humble brag, great comp course. You think you know the other guy?
His name is Woodland.
I actually didn't want to mention Woodland because I always do, but I do like him as well, obviously. No. Dude, the guy, it's 2021, like, why would I avoid Stewart Cink now?
Get out of here with Stewart Cink. I know he's hitting it longer. Dude. I'm not playing Stewart Cink in this court.
Okay, I have a question for you. Someone actually texted me this today. If you had to guess, what does Colin Morikawa rank in driving distance on the PGA Tour?
Dude, probably bottom 75 percentile, if I had to guess.
125th.
Yeah.
Stewart Cink is like, hits the ball like considerably farther than Colin Morikawa, and I don't know how that's possible. He probably has some of Scott Stallings' roids or something. But, like, Stuart Sink, like, I mean, again, if he misses the cut by a million, whatever, like, he's not going to be owned. But, like, if he makes the cut, now you have a 3% guy who's been, like, one of the more consistent players over the last year.
Oh, I mean, I got to give it. He's 7,200. I guess I didn't peg that for a second. That is unbelievable leverage off Hoffman. So, to your point, yeah, I mean, you got to increase the exposure to Sink, you know, now in all formats, the more you bring it up. I didn't realize he was 7,200 on the dot. And you know, everybody that's looking at 7,200 is going to play Hoffman.
Stuart Sink has doubled the amount of wins this year than Finau has in his career. So that's the way I see it. Yeah, that's the important. That's you got to remember.
Doing in this range, man. I mean, I know you're. Are you going to play all the chalker guy? Like, what is your thoughts?
I think I'm going to flood. I'm going to have a couple guys from the 7K range for sure. I'm probably going to play two of that four that we were talking about there between Hoffman, Hoffman, Kokrak, Lowry, and Answer. I'll probably have two of those guys for sure in my lineup. If I'm going with one of those balance builds, I think I'm going to have to. I think Hoffman's like the cheapest most guys will go in an optimal build, you know, for us cash game players and small field single entry stuff. I mean, he's really appealing at that 7.2K.
What is your goal this week? Are you just trying to cash and double up? Like, honestly, is that?
Yeah, well, I play a lot of cash games, and then I play the smaller field, under 100 people, GPPs and stuff, where, you know, I'm not getting as crazy as even sometimes you like to do, playing those sub 5% owned guys. You know, I may take one stab and get a little different there, but generally I'm playing the pretty good plays. You know, that's just the kind of player that I am. And, you know, I know Sam likes to play in those large three maxes, and you like to throw some stuff in the 150 max. You know, that's just not the type of player I am. So I stick to the good plays, good plays. That's what I subscribe to.
I would be remiss if I did not ask. I mean, there's no way you guys are not playing Carlos Ortiz with me, right? There's no way. Like, I can't be the only guy.
And I will, like I said, I'm MME, and Carlos Ortiz is, I'm going to go overweight. I mean, talk about him all the time. I mean, this guy has serious upside. I mean, I don't know what it is, but yes. I will be playing some Carlos Ortiz, and he came in 16th at the Memorial. I mean, nobody ever talks about him. He's just a guy in DFS. Nobody ever talks about him, like, ever. I got a guy that Sam.
Yeah, he'll be like low 7K, and like he'll have like a round where he makes like two doubles and falls to like 26th place, but he still scored so many DK points. He didn't have to win. Like, he still hits value. Yeah. Who's your guy who's terrible?
I got a guy, but real quick, let me take another step back real quick. I wanted to go fishing with you. I was trying to go fishing with Gary because you and him have like this like bro fest. Like, you love Gary Woodland. So like, I was trying to get those details. Maybe it'll come out in your content, but take a harder look into Gary Woodland. I challenge you. Try to make as many different models over long periods of time, 100 rounds, POA, 7,400 and greater. Gary Woodland, I mean, I think he's a very intriguing play this week. I mean, you know, Jared, that's why I keep going back to you, because I like hearing the thesis as well. Believe me, for many years, I mean, even I would build lineups kind of how you're implying. I do believe my heart of hearts what you do is the right thing to do. Sam used to make fun of me because I would just play all the chalk plays and hit. And generally, that's what happens more often than not. But over the course of time, I like sprinkling in some variants. But I even Jared, to you, Gary Woodland, I would play over Shane Lowry probably this week. You know, you need some upside leverage, and Shane Lowry is the world. Like, he doesn't hit it as far as people think. I think he's going to get highly touted this week, you know, across the industry. But again, it's just an interesting point. So let me go to another guy. And again, this is a guy that really sticks out to me running different models. Like, even me this week, I'm trying to challenge myself. It's a huge tournament. I'm playing a lot more money on the line. I love Ryan Palmer this week. I don't think he's going to be popular, but I'm looking at this range with the Hoffman, you know, I'm like, again, you brought up Stuart Sink. I think that's actually a really good play. Ryan Palmer was the guy I'm looking for leverage off Charlie Hoffman. He hits it a ton. He's got great history here. Surprisingly putts well on POA for what it's worth. He's actually a pretty good putter. I mean, Ryan Palmer crushes the ball. And, you know, talk about a bomber in this range. There's not too many of them. So I like Ryan Palmer is leverage down in this range. I like him a lot. I mean, I would consider Ryan Palmer and cash. And Sam, Ryan Palmer earlier in the year would be mega chalk here, and I don't think he's going to be.
I agree. It is the Torrey history. I think he's stats-wise kind of up. The problem is he's like the anti like Hideki and Corey Connors, where he's like can be a fine putter, but he's so bad at chipping. Whereas like Corey Connors and Hideki are great chipping, they just don't make any putts. Yeah. So that's my only issue with him. I do agree though that he will not be only in like random older guy like Stuart Sink hits the ball farther than you think. I was gonna say on top of that, like, I mean, Ryan Palmer's a bad example because he does hit it far, but someone like, God, I get very bare this guy all the time.
Don't say it.
I'm not playing Kevin Na. I'm just saying like Kevin Na or Streelman or like, you know, Patrick Reed or Webb Simpson, a lot of these guys, they're like exceptions that, I mean, that sometimes the stats won't account for because they don't hit the ball off the tee that far, but they are so locked in with like their longer irons because they hit the ball short that I wouldn't like put them at as big of a disadvantage as some other guys. So like, I always play Streelman. I mean, this is not probably the course fit for him because he didn't kill the ball that much, but talk about guy, like if you look at a stat model, I mean, he's one of the best in the field. I mean, and he knows his game, hits it shorter. So I wouldn't say like I would be really keen on getting the guys in my main lineup, but like they won't be owned just because they don't hit the ball as far as Bryson. So that's my thing with these lower 7K guys. But yeah, I'm not Kevin Na. I can't do it.
I thought you were going to say something about Cameron Champ, and I was trying to stop you before you even got there. But yes, Cameron Champ will drive the ball 400 yards.
I don't know if I have ever once in my life rostered Cam Champ. He is so bad.
He does
come in last.
He does have an edge. You got to admit, he's actually got an edge this week. I do think it's somewhat intriguing.
He's actually better on short courses. Sub 7K. Sorry, Ruby, I just stole your thunder. You can
introduce yourself. No, you're good. I was going to transition us here. I mean, we could talk about this 7K range all day, it sounds like, with so many good plays. But and you know what? I think in a lot of those optimal builds, that's going to be the route that a lot of people take is living in that 7K range. We already talked about it earlier. Not a lot to guys love here below 7K. Give me a couple guys that we could throw some darts on in GPPs that allow us to get to that upper 10K range and get some of those premium guys in our lineup. Sam, it sounded like you were kind of excited to do it. So go ahead, you lead us off here.
Funny because AC bet him. I'm probably gonna bet him like top 10, top 20. How does cheap shock Johnny Vegas sound? That's what's about to happen. Like,
damn.
I think they just like he's rating out in every stat model because like he just under 7K, he crushed
third
the ball.
Place last week.
That was the worst case scenario. Yeah,
that was bad. I did bet that before the end, and I didn't even see what was going on in that tournament for the record. But
yeah, dang. So I will say I like him, but like man, that just seems like, you know, people are stuffing in like 4, 8 to 9K guys, and then like Hoffman and Vegas. That's like what I think the chalk hash. So
I would not play history here. I like Lanto Griffin there. I always say I like Lanto at 6,800.
Yes.
Easy pivot off of Johnny Vegas. And like Lanto's got some game, man. I mean, we talked about this guy for 6 months, I feel like, and it hasn't truly worked out in our favor, especially considering he's missed 4 out of the last 5 cuts. But I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to stick with, quote unquote, hashtag the process, right? I do like Lanto Griffin. He's just been struggling lately. So I think that's an interesting play.
I'll say one guy that I always talk about and then another guy that you don't even know who it is, but he's really good. So obviously I'm going to play Brendan Steele. I mean, it's a Brendan Steele course. We're in California, dude. I mean, Brendan Steele, he's going to miss the cut by a couple hundred, but that's okay. He's only 65.
I think he's going to be popular.
If you want a good guy who's played a lot on the Korn Ferry Tour, Taylor Pendrith, 6,500. No one's going to play him. He hits the ball like really far.
You dabbling down in this range? I guess not for one lineup, probably.
No, probably not. I mean, there were. I actually like that Lanto call. He was the one guy that I saw popping in models, and he looks like he's going to be a fraction of the ownership of Vegas. So talk about a good pivot down in this range, especially, whoa, Sam, if you think that Vegas is going to be a part of, you know, the chalk cash build. I definitely think Lanto could provide some leverage. But yeah, that was really the only guy that stood out to me here. I don't think I'm dabbling down in this range as much as you guys probably are in, you know, your large field GPP streets.
The way I view, way I view stuff like this, it's like how, like, when we talk Masters, like, you can take the bottom 12 guys in the field who are just in there because they won before and just X them out. A lot of these qualifying guys, I think, first of all, any if anyone's interested, like, you should look up some of these guys qualified. It's really, really cool, and they're good guys, but they're not going to do well. And also, one thing I forgot to mention at the top is this U.S. Open is top 60 in ties. Yeah. So the cut is even less people. So, like, it really, yeah, okay, the lower six is six and take more chances. But for me, it's like, there's really such little upside in taking any of these guys who are under, like, 66 or 65. It's like they're making the cut equity is just so low.
Well, and also, too, I mean, as the tournament comes or our podcast winds down here and comes to an end, like, Jay, we'd love to have you back, like, on even some more normal tournaments. The reality is, in the normal tournaments, there are guys in the 6K range that we actually can play and we can, like, get weird with, especially in, like, you know, MME formats. But, like, even in MME formats this week, it's like I'll be Xing out, like, 90% of these guys. And that's why I led off the podcast with, everybody's going to be 10 to 15% owned above, because everybody's kind of doing the same thing. And I've noticed, maybe this is just me and bad luck, I historically have not done well in these U.S. Opens and the Masters type of fields and DFS, because there is more luck, right? Like, there's not as many low owned plays you can actually make. I mean, again, that's just the sob story for me not doing well, but it's true. Like, it's just math. Like, when everybody's Xing out the same guys, there's just not as many guys left. I'll leave you with this, and then we can finish up with, like, our one bet that we like that's not a big favorite. As I was scrolling down, there is somebody here. Sam, you're going to like this play. And if you're playing your 3-max entry, like, why not? He played terrible, I believe. I'm clicking on it right now. He made the cuts at the Memorial, but his strokes gained were awful, but his putter was on fire. Troy Merritt, 6,500. We've talked
Dude,
about
I knew you were going to say Troy Merritt.
Why? I mean, dude.
I already wrote him down 2 minutes ago. I wrote him down to look into it.
It's not the greatest player. Again, just like a fun guy that you're looking at. Like, you know, you want 5% owned, is going to be 1% owned. So it's just a thought, right? So I'll go to J-Rub. We'll finish the podcast. Your favorite outright bet of the week that is not the John Rahms of the world.
It's time to tilt, Sam. Time to get you going, AC. I mean, I'm going to do it. I'm taking Abraham Answer here. I'm going to take the chalk. I'm going to take the chalk DFS guy here at 70-1. Give me Abraham Answer as my pick this week to win it. I know that I'm not looking at you guys, but I assume you're eye rolling me right now, and no. I'll never be invited back.
Sam, who are you rolling
with? Actually, at that number, actually, the number I saw was 50. So actually at 70, I really don't hate that bet at all. He's probably not going to win. But I'd say my longer shot guy I would take would be – oh, okay. If I still have this number, which I don't think I do, is I will totally take what's his name? I would take Justin Rose if he's still at 66-1.
I'm going to stay on brand here to fight J-Rube to the death with the DFS play as well as the bet. At the same price point in DFS, I'm going to continue to say, and for me, I know there's luck involved. It's a wide mile. I prefer Paul Casey by a lot over Abraham Answer. And if it becomes Answer is much more owned, I mean, I feel like I have a bigger edge than I thought this week. I mean, I see it with Answer. But again, Jared, that will be our little battle this week. I'll take Paul Casey, who I've already bet at BetKarma. I got him at 70-1. So that's the guy that
you know what? I'm changing. I'm going to Hideki. I don't even care. He might win this tournament. Yep.
Dude, nobody's going to own Hideki in DFS. It's just fascinating. I mean, he actually is play, but
yeah, absolutely not.
And then when both lose it.
All right. Perfect. Hey. Thank you guys for having me on again. Shout out to Sam and AC for all the incredible content that they're putting out all week long for the Masters. Make sure you check it all out at dfskarma.com and at betkarma.com. I know Sam will have his extensive article and final thoughts up. AC will have his core plays. Who knows? Maybe I'll even throw some core plays up in our free Discord channel this week, you know, really get the people going. You know, that'll That'll really be spicy. You know, all the chalk plays, I'll throw like four of them in and everyone will just laugh at me. It'll be fantastic. But I will have Brooks answer in Finau, that's for sure. All right,
as
cool.
As long as Brooks doesn't win, I don't care. I don't even care who wins. As long as Brooks
wins. Yeah, I mean, that's the storyline this week, right? The Brooks versus Bryson. How about them for a Sunday pairing? Let's make that happen, PJ Tour. That's how you get the ratings up.
If that happened, I did not win in DFS, so I don't want that to happen. But yes,
Listen, I'm here for the storyline. So as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe to catch all of the amazing content every week and every day here at DFS Karma and Karma Media Network. For AC, for Sam, I am J Rube. And thank you for listening to another Teeing It Up podcast.